It can be rather difficult to hear exactly what the prophets are trying to say. That down there on the page, they seem so confident, talking straightforward like they are 10 feet tall, sure of what they are saying. It seems as if every person is hanging on every word that they proclaim. But in reality, when the prophet Micah said, "You, O Bethlehem, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come one who is to rule Israel," it was not with an air of confidence at best. It was with a note of hope that Micah had to muster up enough courage to say such things, because he is speaking right after an invasion of Judah, where people watched helplessly as outsiders came in with force, raiding their towns and villages. That people lost loved ones. They questioned their future, asking, "Can we rebuild? Can I replant my gardens? Can we begin again?" That when people went to synagogue, they were asking, "Where is God?" So in order to hear exactly what Micah is trying to say, we first have to hear that fear that surrounded him. That Micah then asked the people to trust in God's power, which was something quite different than the military power they had witnessed. That God's power is not always what we expect. And Christmas is now so close, we can't think about anything else. If it's not done, it might not get done. That we're now just ready to celebrate, to gather, to eat, to be with one another. That it's hard to feel at this point as if Christmas is unexpected. We circled that day on the calendar weeks ago, and we have been so busy since then, tying bows, wrapping gifts, planning the meal, getting everyone together on the calendar, that it's hard to feel as if Christmas could be a surprise. There had been signs of Christmas now since Halloween. But Christmas can still surprise us, because the love of God defies our expectations. Christmas was certainly a surprise to Mary. She did not circle that day on the calendar. She was probably up late at night washing clothes and hanging them to dry for the next day when she heard that voice that said, "Greetings, favored one." And everything changed. It was unexpected and it was terrifying. Gabriel assured her, "Mary, do not be afraid." But it was not until she went to see Elizabeth that changed. She was still grappling with that unexpected news. And then she met with Elizabeth, and she was finally able to sing, "My soul magnifies the Lord, for God has looked with favor on the lowliness of God's servant." That just like it's hard to hear exactly what Micah is saying, unless we hear the fear that was around him, it's hard to understand what Mary sings unless we first hear the fear around her. Because fear is different in the moment than it is once the moment has passed. Like when we're asked to speak in public and we are terrified. Our knees feel weak. Our feet feel like they are sewn to the carpet where we can't get up and walk to the microphone. That even though the crowd is full of friendly faces, it feels hostile, like they're gonna throw something. But once we get through it, once we sit back down, something changes. Just a day later, our friend says to us, "My cousin asked me to speak at his rehearsal dinner, and I just don't think I can do it. I'm terrified." And it's like we have amnesia when we say, "Oh, don't worry about it. It'll be fine." Fear, though, is real. Perhaps it's why we feel uncomfortable going to hospitals. Not just as the patient, but even as a visitor. That a hospital reminds us life is fragile. But then our good friend is a patient, and we muster up enough courage to go visiting each day, taking lunch to her, sitting in the room for hours, just talking. And one afternoon as we are leaving, she turns to us and says, "Thank you so much for coming." And we hear all of the love and gratitude in those words, and we realize that our fear was no match for what is truly important. Or perhaps we're up early, walking around a rather large city, one that feels unfamiliar to us, and we look around and see the benches with everyone who has no one, nowhere else to sleep. And we see the face of hunger. And we feel empathy for them, but we're also nervous, even a little scared. But then one gentleman gets up, collects his things, walks by us and smiles and says, "Good morning." And the kindness in his voice makes our fear just fade away. Or it's like when our teenager comes home one afternoon and she's upset that as she storms up the stairs, she pounds her feet on each and every step. So we go upstairs and we peek in the room and she's crying. All of a sudden, we are afraid. And she tells us what happens. She was with her friends, and one of them told a joke with a racial slur. But she spoke up. She said, "That's not funny." But the rest of her friends didn't see what the big deal was, and now she feels lonely. We are no longer afraid. We are proud, hoping we would have had the same kind of courage. That fear is real, but so is love. And it can surprise us because of what it calls us to do. It's the reason Micah spoke up. It's the reason Mary sang. Because love is stronger than fear. That whether or not we have been planning for Christmas for weeks, it can still surprise us. Because the love of God defies our expectations. Siona Rouse tries to imagine that terrifying moment for Mary. And then when she goes and sees Elizabeth, trying to imagine what did Mary say? That perhaps Mary said, "Elizabeth, a whisper of grace, landed in my ear, saying, "You're going to have a baby boy, Mary. Now, ain't that good news?" But my mind captured every question overwhelming me, and only one found its way free. How can this be? But somewhere inside of me, something was breathing life into my faith. It was calling me to speak. These words, they came from the gut of my soul, where joy and pain, laughter and tears, life and death are born. They came from the place where God's Spirit dwells. And my soul smiled as these words came from my mouth. I am the Lord's. Let it be. At Christmas, we too might say, "I am the Lord's. Let it be." Where we find courage to face the fear around us or the fear inside of us, what holds us back from leaning in to the ways of Jesus. Now, it will not make life easier. In fact, it can make life harder. But as Wendell Berry writes, to love anything good at any cost is a bargain. And if we are looking for a bargain this Christmas, it just might be the steadfast love of God, where we find the courage that we need to love a friend, to love the stranger, to love the enemy, to love ourselves, to love this world the same way that God does. Amen.